Welcome to Life as a Patient Doctor, where we transform my blog into an audio experience. I'm your host, MedPsych Moss, navigating healthcare as a patient and a future MD. Embark on a journey of vulnerability as we uncover the realities of trauma and developing resilience. Hit that follow and join us on this extraordinary life as a patient doctor. And now for the show. Welcome, everyone. I have an amazing guest today. Jay is a rising third-year medical student with an interest in general surgery who is currently studying for Step 1. They graduated from UNC Chapel Hill in 2019 with a psychology major in chemistry and medical anthropology minor. As a Black, queer, non-binary person living with chronic illness, they view their identities as strengths that fueled their passion for disability advocacy and equitable care for marginalized groups. During their time in medical school, they have chartered the MSDCI branch at UNC School of Medicine, served as a microbiology TA for underrepresented pre-meds, and as an HIV and STI testing counselor at their school's free clinic. Welcome, Jay.
Hi, happy to be here.
Awesome, thank you. I just wanted to start off and just hear from you, but I would love to hear more about your journey to medicine and through medicine to date.
Yeah, so I was born in a very rural town in Duplin County, North Carolina, where my grandmother and my mother, she helped to care for my great aunt, who is her sister, who has schizophrenia and dementia. And so just seeing how my grandmother was able to care for her and support her, it kind of inspired me to pursue medicine because I was also involved in a lot of her care. So from a young age, I started helping with sorting out her medications for the week, or if my grandmother had to go to run errands or things like that, making sure my Aunt Ruth was safe, and just making sure to like watch out for her and care for her. And then just also seeing like the interface between my rural town and how we don't have a lot of services there. There's adequate medical care. And a lot of times people have to get transferred to UNC, which is an hour and a half away. Just seeing how patient outcomes were lacking in rural areas and especially among marginalized groups. So that was something that kind of drew me into medicine and led to me pursuing medical anthropology as a minor, which kind of spiraled from there.
I love that we both have psychology minors. So you got into medicine. How has your medical school like journey been?
Yeah, it has been a interesting experience. I think I definitely, by the time I entered medical school, I thought I knew what to expect, but then it was definitely a lot more than I expected. However, I felt I was able to manage it well just because like I had really good supportive groups. So my family, my community back home, a lot of people have been supporting me as a pre-med for forever. And so like that was really nice. And then also the people that I met in medical school that have kind of been struggling with me. So I would say that's been really nice to experience. And I also really like finally getting to be in a field where everything I'm learning, even if it is a lot of information, are things that I'm interested in. I do think like gen eds and stuff like that are very important. However, I think being more like focused in like medicine is very nice, even if it is a lot at times.
Oh, definitely. I totally hear that. Going into medical school, I feel like it's just, you think you're prepared like mentally, and you never are. It's definitely a journey, but it's so important to find other community members that are struggling through it together.
Yeah, exactly.
What about your unique perspective on patient care? Would you like to share a little bit more about that and chronic illness?
Yeah, when I was diagnosed with my chronic illness, I was a pre-med, and I was actually completing a summer medical program that was very rigorous and very similar to medical school, but like compiled into 8 weeks. So it was very intense. I didn't have the best reaction to getting diagnosed. And like, it was very difficult at first to come to terms with things because I had a brief like acute hospitalization and then found out that I am living with Graves' disease, which is hyperthyroidism. And It took me a long time to come to terms with how my life would change, and or medical school and being a doctor would still be for me. And so I kind of had to come to terms with what my new normal would be, and then also just like what an asset it is to be not just a doctor, but also a patient. So I know a lot of people can probably relate to experiences where doctors say, oh, this is like manageable and it's fine, you know, like this should be fine. Or you have normal labs and, but you're still feeling pain. And they're just like, well, we're just going to leave it where it is right now and just see, and just wait and see. So I've had experiences like that as a patient, definitely felt very dismissive and a little invalidating. And so I want to be the type of doctor who can understand that from a personal experience, and then also to kind of interface in with my future coworkers, just in case there might be just casual instances of ableism and things like that, and just being able to advocate for patients who are experiencing these things. So
I love that. I love seeing how real life experiences and struggles change your perspective, which allow you to then connect better with your future patients. Have you started your clinicals or had any interactions with patients that were similar to you or anything like that?
I have not started clinicals yet.
So preclinicals, no worries.
Yes, I've had a couple of clinical weeks, which have been very nice. But I think in those weeks, I have been with a community preceptor, and my other identities have been more of an asset. And those being like being a person of color and being back, I actually went back home for my community week. And a lot of the patients, it was very nice for them to see me. And, you know, they would tell me that they're proud of me and just different things like that. Like it really warms your heart. And all types of diversity is very important. Doctors don't all look the same, and they shouldn't all like have the same attributes. So yeah, that was definitely like really nice and rewarding to experience.
That's such a meaningful thing to be able to be with patients that you share some sort of identity, whether if that's race or just a background, social economic status. There's this like unspoken connection. I don't know if you felt that too, that you don't have to say that you specifically share that identity. They can tell. You know, you can tell when someone else has shared struggles, even if it's not out loud that they've said it, right?
Yeah, not feel so like isolated, so alone. Like being a patient can be so vulnerable. There's so much that like you're telling your doctor. To be in pain is a very vulnerable experience in general. And so being able to provide comfort to people, even just by your identities, even if unspoken, it's just so important to me. Like, yeah, it's very important to me. So.
Yeah, it sounds like you are working really hard to promote diversity at your school. I know we mentioned before that MSDCI. Can you kind of spell that out and kind of talk a little bit how that came about?
Yeah, so me and an MS3 at my school, we realized that there was a national branch of medical students with disabilities and chronic illness. And so we wanted to bring something like that here to UNC, just because it can be very isolating to be a medical student with a chronic illness. And we wanted to be in a group with like-minded individuals to kind of have like vent sessions and things like that. And then also to work towards better accommodations for individuals at our school. And so some of the things that individuals in our group have done is make an accommodations guide inspired by the national MSDCI branch, but more focused on things that we have at UNC. And we've also worked with the Duke branch. They have health students with disabilities and chronic illness. So meeting with them. So just creating a network of support amongst individuals with disability and chronic illness. The Docs with Disabilities podcast. I actually ended up meeting my mentor, Dr. Diana Cejas, from there. She does a lot of great work with them, as well as just disability advocacy in general. So she's a really great person to know. Yeah, it's just been really great. I definitely think that having that space is so important within our school, and even advocating for individuals, because individuals do not have to disclose their chronic illnesses and disabilities, you know, but even advocating for people who choose not to be in the group is just so important, because like recognizing the stigma is there, and it is personal choice to do so.
That's so true. And I do remember your accommodations guide. I'll make sure to include it, if that's okay, down below in the show notes, and also link to Docs to Disabilities, because those are two amazing resources. That was, I think, the very first thing that connected me outside of just like my own school. I realized that there's an entire community of individuals, of doctors, of health professionals in medicine that have that dual role of patient and doctor. I also like that you said that people don't have to disclose. I think that is a huge challenge on whether to disclose, even to other people and then in school. And it's so important. Sometimes people can just say, like, I have a health condition, and that's it. There's no need to expand upon that. But then by saying you have a health condition and getting those resources, that can really be so beneficial. We talked so much about wonderful things. Let's talk a little bit about, you were in preclinicals. What does the accommodations look like at your school? Because I know that every school can look a little different. Like, is there an office? Is there one person? Like, if I was a student at your school, how would I go about getting accommodations?
So we have the Accommodations Resource Center, which is through UNC at large. So we don't currently have a medical school specific one at this time. And we do have a liaison, well, temporary liaison right now. So Dr. Glassman, who works with student affairs, but they are working towards getting someone to replace the person we had before, who just retired in early May. So some of the accommodations that we have for preclinical years is usually extended time on tests or extended breaks in between. I actually had to utilize the extended breaks in December of last year. And I know, like, another thing we were talking about was challenges with medical school. So I'm segueing back to that. But I was in cardio block and I ended up getting diagnosed with pericarditis. And I love taking my block so seriously that I experience it.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. It was the end of the semester. I just had my final left, and kind of more to what you were talking about before, where you said the decision on whether or not to disclose, I was weighing that very heavily because I still wanted to finish my final, not when I was originally supposed to take it, because it was going to be too soon and I needed to recover a little bit. But 3 days after, at first, it was very hard to get like admin to agree to let me take it 3 days later, because it was Christmas vacation. And I was like, you know, it's really inconvenient for me too. I actually am in a lot of pain, but no, January, I will not want to study over the Christmas break.
Right. You're sick.
Yeah. Yeah. So they ended up conceding for me, which was really great. And actually during that specific incident is where I discovered that like being able to have like breaks in between longer exams was very useful for me, and also like less people in the room as well. So
oh, definitely, especially while studying, you're just sitting around studying, your mind is using so much glucose, so like it's exhausting for your entire body, not just your mind. And that's good to know now, especially like going into step. I know that I needed to take a break. Even I took a leave of absence from medical school because my health. So it's really important that you know, like, where is your point that you need to go, like, no, I need to take care of my own health first. And then I can go back to being a doctor or future doctor. And I'm so glad that eventually they were conceding and they were able to give you what you needed.
Yeah.
Is there any other last advice for future medical students or current health professionals living with disabilities or chronic health conditions that we haven't talked about?
Yes, I would say, like, on the point of accommodations, take the accommodations if you need them. Don't let what you think someone else's perception of them are take away the comfort that you can have with the accommodations. Yeah, that's something that I definitely think is important, especially with so much stigma in medicine. And then I would also say, just give yourself grace and try not to compare yourself to anyone else's journey, because your journey is different and your path to medicine is still so important to like future patients. Your day-to-day will look different than anyone else, even another person with a chronic illness or disability. Everyone will have a different day-to-day, different highs and lows. And just staying focused on yourself is just very, very important, and being kind to your body and your mind. Yeah, those are definitely important skills that I had to come to terms with. Like, one of the things that I did when I found that I was having a hard time with comparing myself to my classmates who were different from me, I made this jar that had like affirmations in it, and it's actually right here.
Share it. I love that.
It is. It's a double bubble.
I haven't seen one of those in forever. I love it.
I used to open it daily, read one daily, and just it was full of things like that I needed to see. So there's some things in there like rest is necessary and play is also an important part of life. And that's something I think I need to see, not only as a person with a disability, but also a medical student who would could easily spend hours studying, but also you need to be a human too. Those really helped me my first year, for sure.
I love that idea. I feel like that is such an important thing, is because imposter syndrome can really take hold of us and comparing ourselves. I feel like that is something I've struggled with and continue to struggle with. I love that idea of having something can just give you those support to keep going throughout the day.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for being on this podcast. Is there a way that individuals can connect with you if they want to hear more?
Yeah, we can drop my email.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining. And I'll also post on the accommodations guide, the Docs with Disabilities. If you like this episode, share it with one other person. That's how we form a community. We all have maybe one connection, one friend who is also struggling either with health conditions, disabilities, imposter syndrome, diversity. Share it with one friend. You can get more information. I combined the accommodations guide. I linked it to one of my blog posts regarding disabilities accommodations, and I did put it in there, so I'll put that blog post link, and you can find me at medpsychmoss.com and medpsychmoss on all social media. So thank you so much, and thank you, Jay, for joining me today. It was wonderful meeting you.
It was nice to meet you, Stephanie.